All right, I think we're ready to go. Said it works a lot better with it up there, so we're going to try to remember to always put it up there. Because some of us wander around up here, it wasn't all getting recorded. So we're trying to make sure that it all gets recorded now. Several weeks ago, someone came to me and said, I've been going to church here, I don't remember how long they said they were coming here, and I've never heard anybody teach on the Lord's Supper. And so I began to prepare and look in the Word of God and see what it entails, what the Lord's Supper is, what it's about, who's qualified to take the Lord's Supper, and so on. It tells all that here in Scripture. So I want to look at that this morning. But before we go into that, I want to pray together and ask that the Lord would use me to bring the Word of God this morning. Father, I thank you for this time together. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will speak through me this morning. Father, that I'll say only what you would have me say, and that your will be done in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I began to look at what the Lord's Supper was and how it got started, sometimes I found in Scripture it's called the Last Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper. This was the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples, is why it's called the Last Supper. And it's actually during the Passover, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to actually go back into the Old Testament today so that I can show you how it came about. But I want to begin in Matthew 26, right where bread ended today. And it starts in Matthew 26, verse 17, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Verse 17 says, "On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?'" So the meal that they're getting ready to eat together is the Passover meal. And so as I read that, I've been, every year I begin in the Old Testament, so I've been reading about the Passover and I knew what it was. So I want to share that with you. And most of you already know what the Passover is, but I want to show it to you in Scripture so that you can write it down and know where to find it. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. And then I think we'll even go back to Exodus, but let's go to Leviticus first. Leviticus 23. And let me read 1 and 2 to begin with. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies.'" So it's a feast that the Lord had spoke to Moses about. He said, "I want you to proclaim to the people, this is one of the feasts that I want you to keep. It's something that you're going to do every year on the same day." And now let's go down to verse 4. It says, "These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins." So on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day was Passover. And we're going to actually see what that means here in a little bit. So on the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. "For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. And on the 7th day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work." So they're having a festival for 7 days. The children of Israel are. They've called off work. The first day of the assembly, no work is to be done, only to fix your meals for the day, what you're going to eat. and the rest of the day, relax. It's sacred. It's holy to the Lord. And then from the 15th day of the first month till the 21st day, then they have this festival, time of rejoicing and a time, but the whole week. Do any of you know what unleavened bread is? It's like the little wafers we eat. It's bread that doesn't rise. It's bread that rises takes leavening. And so it's just a little flat piece of bread, not fat, but flat piece of bread that they had to, this whole week, that's all they could eat was unleavened bread. No bread with yeast that would get nice and fluffy the way we like it. So that's what's going on. Let's go back now to Exodus and see how the Passover began. You all know the story of how the children of Israel left Egypt, and that is found in chapter 11 of Exodus. And let's again begin with verse 4 in Exodus. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says, about midnight I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all of the firstborn of the cattle as well." So as you know, Moses has been going before Pharaoh for several weeks, telling him that he needs to let the people of Israel go. "We want to go out into the desert, worship the Lord, and so let us go a 3 days journey. And if you don't let us go, the Lord's going to do this." And Pharaoh keeps saying, "I'm not going to let him go." So the Lord brings plague after plague after plague. And finally, after this plague, he does finally let him go. And you can understand why. How would you imagine losing your firstborn son or your firstborn daughter? All of the firstborn of your cattle, and everything firstborn is going to die because he won't let the people go. It says, "There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or will ever be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me bowing down before me and saying, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you.' After that, I will leave." And Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. And the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. And then we're going to see how the Passover took place. Begins here in chapter 12 of Exodus. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month.'" So I didn't research this. I don't think this was January. I don't think it's our first month that we have on our calendar year. But the month that they left Egypt was to be their first month. So that's why I believe somewhere in my notes, in my footnotes in my Bible, I think it was April if I remember what I was reading this week. But do any of you know, does anybody keep up with Jewish traditions at all? Does anybody know when their Passover is, actually? Okay. Huh?
Matt's not here.
That's true. Matt's not here. He would know, wouldn't he? And I did not look that up. If I come across it, I'll relay that to you. But I don't believe that it's our January. I think it, because that was the month that they left Egypt, that's when he said, "This will be your first month. This will start your calendar year." So it's not the same.
I would say April, according to the calendar, it says Passover starts on March 30th this year.
Okay, very good. All right, and that's what I think that was in one of my footnotes, and I didn't write it in my notes here, so I think I may come across it, but I think, too, it's April. So that's... But anyway, the Passover, I want to continue here because I'm going to show you how God delivered the children of Israel, how He protected them from death, from their firstborn being killed. Because how was anybody to know who's Egyptians and who's Israelites in the dark? This was after dark, and when the death angel came through, and so I want to convey that to you here. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest friend or nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. So they were to take a lamb, take into account the number of people that it would take to eat that lamb, to consume that lamb as a meal. And that's how many. So if you were a family of two, you needed to find another family of so many so that you could eat the whole lamb, so that you didn't have any left over. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood, put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the house where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. I can remember one time, I don't know if you remember, Patsy, one time when we were going to church soon after we got married, somebody did the Passover meal for us at church. We had the bitter herbs and roasted lamb and that. And it wasn't really, to me, it wasn't a pleasant meal. It wasn't something that I enjoyed eating, I'll just put it that way. But I do remember being at a place that they had that meal one time. But just, I don't know if any of you have ever had the Passover meal, but I'm just saying I don't think I would enjoy it. But this is something they had to do every year because of the Passover, because He passed over them. Okay, so they're going to put the blood on the doorpost on both sides of their door and on the top of the door. It says that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So they were to get ready to run, basically. Any time that you hear in the Old Testament of somebody taking a message or running with a message, they tucked their cloak up in their belt so that they didn't trip over their cloak, and away they went so they could run. They got their cloak up out of the way and put their sandals on, and they're ready to eat your meal quickly because you're going to get ready to go. So He wanted them to be ready. On that same night I will pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all of the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. So it's pretty serious. Pretty serious thing. If you even keep yeast in the house and eat anything with yeast during that 7-day festival, you're no longer part of Israel. You're to be cut off and removed from the Israelite people. What verse was I on? On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days no yeast is to be found in your home, houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. So the blood was their protection. The blood on the door. I don't know what hyssop is, but they took it and sprinkled blood on both sides of the door and on top of the door, so that whoever was delivering the plague to the Egyptians would know that there's Israelites behind these walls, don't go in there. They told them, don't go out, stay in your houses, because the blood is your protection. And isn't that the way it is today? Jesus' blood protects us as well. Jesus' blood is our salvation. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see blood on top and both sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. He will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants when you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised. Observe this ceremony. When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And you all know the rest of the story. I'm not going to go on from there. But that's why I wanted to share that. It shows us exactly why they kept the Passover every year, and why the Jews still do that today. They still keep the Passover because many of the Jews still don't believe that the Messiah has come. They don't understand that Jesus was the Messiah because of the lies that were spread when he came from the tomb. They told the Jewish community that somebody came and stole the body, and they did not know that Jesus was alive and was the Savior of the world as we know it today. So let's go back now to Matthew 26. I want to finish the account in Matthew of what's going on at this last meal that the Lord had with his disciples. And we're going to begin there at verse 18 and go on. So the disciples had asked him, where do you want me to prepare for the Passover? Where do you want us to go to prepare for the Passover? Because they always had the Passover meal together with Jesus. And so they wanted to know where to make preparations. And he replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. So they went wherever he told them and told this guy, hey, the Lord wants to use your room to have the Passover meal with the disciples. So may we go ahead and prepare it? And he said yes. And so they began to prepare. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad, began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." I can't imagine being there with the 12 and the Lord and knowing that one of these guys here in the room was going to betray Jesus, knowing what he had done through their whole life together, you know, the time they had walked together. But Judas already knew that he was going to do it. But the rest of them who didn't know who was going to do it, "Surely not I, Lord, is it? It's not me. Surely not I." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." So this is the first time that they had ever heard this during the Passover meal, because they had always known that they had to sacrifice a lamb, a sheep, or a goat. They had to roast a lamb and eat a lamb. And Jesus is saying to them, "I'm going to be leaving you, but take and eat. This is my body." And they're wondering what's going on here, because he hadn't been sacrificed yet. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is where we get our Lord's Supper. This is where it comes from. It comes from the Passover meal. Let's go now to Mark's account. I tried to find everything, Mark 14, tried to find everything in the Word of God that talked about this so that we understand it perfectly. You can really go to any of the Gospels. John was the only account that I couldn't find that actually talked about the bread and the cup. I do want to show you something from John. Mark 14, beginning at verse 12. "On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, 'Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?' So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you.'" And this is interesting how each of these disciples that wrote Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all their accounts are a little bit different. Some of them remembered a different thing than the others when they wrote it down, and it's pretty cool to see the difference in the different Gospels. But you're going to meet a man carrying a jar of water, and follow him. Say to the owner of the house that he enters, and that's, wouldn't it be weird to be taking a jar of water home and see these guys just following you home? You're on your way with a jar of water, and you keep looking, and these two guys are just following me. What's going on here? So they followed this guy home, and he said, "Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' So the disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." There's a footnote here. Some manuscripts say the blood of the new covenant. So this was a new covenant. It was a new covenant that God made with his people, that he would be the lamb, that he would be the sacrifice. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And then when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And now let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, beginning at 7, verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. Say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there.'" These account of Mark and Luke are just about identical. There's not much difference at all in these two accounts. They were both, detail-oriented. They understood that. They remembered the details. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." So he'd been trying to prepare the disciples for his leaving. I'm not sure that they yet understood it, because as you read on, you know, you still have them, Peter arguing with Jesus, saying, "I'm not going to renounce you. I'm not going to, you know." And he said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to renounce me three times, or say that you don't know me." And that would have been hard for Peter to understand that, or hard to even fathom that at that time. But we saw that that's exactly what happened. So he's trying to prepare the disciples that he's not going to be here anymore. He's going to glorify God in the cross and dying for our sins. So again, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Took bread, gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine at the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been ordered or been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." It's interesting that Luke put that part after the meal. The other two put it before the meal. I don't have any idea why. It's just the way they wrote. But it's all there. Now let's look and see what John... I had a little more trouble finding the one in John because it doesn't talk anything about the Passover meal. John chapter 13 is actually... I finally did find it in John 13, beginning at verse 1 of John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." So he said, "Man, if it's that important, then wash all of me. I want to really be part of you. So I want to be clean." And so Jesus replied, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not every one of you was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So I wanted to share this as well, because many times in some churches, feet washing is part of their Lord's Supper. They use that as part of the Lord's Supper. And any of you who have been here very long know that we have at times had foot washing. It's something we don't do every time, but we do once in a while. It's just a very humbling act, because it's just so different than anything we do. It's just humbling to get with another brother and wash their feet, and just to show them your love that way. But it's something that Jesus told us to do, so that's why that we do once in a while do that. We don't do it probably as often as we should, because it is a really a good time of growing together. I don't know how many of you remember when we had foot washing, but it's a good time of growing closer together and being one. So that's another, and it's surprising to me that John's the only one that accounted the foot washing, because it was obviously part of that last Passover, because John's account shows it here. He's the only one that shows it. But I did want to share that with you as part of the Passover, that the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples, part of the Lord's Supper, and that was part of it there. Now I want to take us to 1 Corinthians, because in 1 Corinthians, Paul actually is warning people how to take the Lord's Supper. So I want to share these verses with you in closing today. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 17. In my Bible, I have an NIV, and it has headings for all the different places, and every one of these that I've talked about this morning actually has the title above the Lord's Supper. title above everything that I've read. Except back in Exodus and Leviticus, it says the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which both are together during the Passover. Because the Passover is the, if you remember, the Passover is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it's a festival that goes on for 7 days for the Jews. So this is what happens on the first day. And let's see, 1 Corinthians 11:17 and following. And in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. So Paul is chastising the church here, as you'll see when I'm reading. Some of them are coming to eat the Passover meal just because they're hungry. They come because they're hungry. They could care less why it is or what they're doing it for. They're coming just to eat and drink and have a merry time. And he's warning them that's not what it's for. It says, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. To some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have been differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? So they were, as I said, they didn't care. They could care less why they were eating the Passover meal together. They just were hungry or wanted to drink, wanted to get drunk, and so they came to take part in it. Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. And this is actually the scripture that Matt McGlott uses time after time when he brings the Lord's Supper to us. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, and this is where he goes on then and tells us that we have to examine ourselves before we eat and drink. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. I can still hear me. Didn't know I had failed. Okay, so anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And I already read verse 30. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. And that's why we always say, you know, we'll wait and we'll eat it together. I've been in services where they pass it out and just say, as you want, go ahead and eat. But I like this verse, and it's scriptural that we wait and eat it together. And so that's That's what we do. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when, and Paul says, and when I come, I will give you further directions. But this, as far as I know, this is the only place that it talks about how we come and eat together. That's why it's important. And some churches are very strict about if you're not part of this body, you're not going to partake of it. If your membership's not here, you can't eat and drink with us. We've not been strict that way. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you know that this is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and then that you're taking part in His, and remembering that, then it's okay to eat the Lord's table with us. I don't see anything about age group here. Some have often been offended that little ones eat together. I'm not, because I look at that verse where Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." If we don't become as little children, it says we'll never enter the kingdom of God. And many of our little ones have already accepted the Lord as their Savior. They understand. And if we're teaching them right at home, they understand. This is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And He also tells us that in His Word, that we're to talk about Him with our children all the time, when we're on the road and when we're sitting at home and when we're at the table and when we're taking a walk. We're to always, always talk to our children about the Lord, to bring them up knowing the Scriptures as we know them. So I'm never going to call anyone out. As you want, allow your children to take part in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But let them know that that's what it is. It's not just, you're not just eating it to eat and drink, but it is the body and the blood of Jesus. And it was part of the Passover meal. It was the Last Supper. It's called the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. We do it because He tells us in the Word, and you've seen me or saw me read it four different times here, that when we take part in it, we're remembering His blood. We're remembering His broken body that was broken for us, for our healing. The Lord's Supper, taking part in the Lord's Supper is important for us as Christians. It's important for us to remember that He was our sacrifice, that Jesus took the place of the Lamb. They sacrificed year after year, and even daily. The priests would sacrifice the Lamb every day for the sins of the people of Israel and for the Jewish people. We don't have to do that anymore because Jesus was the Lamb. So praise the Lord. Any questions? I'm a teacher. I have a preacher. I would like to have input. If you have any questions, any comments, I would take them now. If not, I'm ready to close. But understand how important it is. That's mainly why I wanted to share it. It's so that you know how important it is that when you take it, you take it as the body and the blood of Jesus. And it is important that we examine ourselves. Are we right with the Lord? Are we without sin and able to walk with Him wholly? So just make sure that you examine yourselves, because us as leaders, we're not going to examine you as you take communion here. And that's not what it tells us in the Word. It says to examine yourselves. But it does say that it's why some of us are sick. Some of us have already died because we haven't paid attention to what God said. So it's important. It's an important part of what we do. And I wanted you to understand how important it is. So that, and now we can't say that we've never heard. And when they came to me, I thought, you know what? I've not heard that either. I've been here 10 years and nobody's ever preached on it. So it probably was time that something was brought from the Word of God on it. Possibly all of you already knew all that, but now you know where to find it all as well. So I'm going to ask that you guys come for the last song. If any of you have a prayer need this morning, Or if anybody has never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, you have opportunity to do that as well. I've always got a little testament with me, so if anybody needs a copy of the Word of God and you'd like to have that this morning, I'll give that to anybody that would like to have it as well. Let's pray. Let's sing. I mean.